You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you to that next level of investing. With me today is William Palmer, my amazing co-host. And in today's episode, our guest will be talking about how he got started investing in stocks and his journey to being a successful investor and how you can be a successful investor in stocks too.
That's right, Charles. And he also talks about how investing in yourself in life is just as important as investing your money. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Hi, everyone. It's Charles Rose Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. And with me today is William Palmer, real estate investor, coach, and the amazing co-host of Breakthrough Investor. William, what's up, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing great, trying to stay inside, stay warm. It's a little chilly where I'm at today, but doing great. I hear the weather is really great where you're at. So I'm a little bit jealous, if I'm quite honest.
How many degrees is it where you're at, man?
It was 20 when I woke up at 5 o'clock, and it hasn't gotten any warmer.
Well, I don't think I want to tell you how warm it is where I'm at. You might be a little bit jealous. I don't want to start the show off with a bad foot, man.
Yeah, maybe not.
But it's very, very warm here in the Dominican Republic.
I'm sure.
Man, William, I'm super excited, man, because today we have a very cool guest joining us, and you know, I'm just excited to bring him on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I was having to read up on him a little bit before this thing, so I cheated. Sorry, Jordan, but had to read up. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to this. Stocks, investing, things like that. I believe that's kind of some of the stuff that he does, and it's not something I'm super familiar with. So I'm really interested in learning a little bit about that.
Yeah, man, he does a lot of cool stuff. And, you know, many of you listening might already know him from his podcast, Earn and Invest, where he talks about money and life in a way that's easy to understand, right? You know, some people make things complex, but I just love the way he explains things and puts it in a way where you can, you know, listen in, learn and take action. And, you know, he's just not a podcast host. You know, he's also a doctor, right? And he loves sharing his stories about ideas and how to live a good life and you know, best of all, how to handle your money in a smart way. And, you know, although he is a doctor, he did left his practice to pursue his passion for deep conversations about money and life. So are you ready to find out who's with us today?
Oh, absolutely. It is.
Absolutely. So it is Doc G, a.k.a. Jordan Grummet. Jordan, or Doc G, man, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for having me, Charles and William. And I, William, am also jealous of Charles' weather because I'm here in Chicago and it's freezing. Ooh. So I could deal with a little bit of 75 and sunny.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what, Doc? What we should have done was we should have found a way where we could schedule this show in the Dominican Republic, right? Wouldn't that be nice?
So I haven't traveled to many podcasts, but I did go to Maui to be on Brandon Turner's A Better Life, and it was really nice to go hang out in Maui for a few days. So if you want to invite me to the Dominican Republic, I'm there.
Willie, we should make a note of that. We should totally find a way to do Absolutely. That. You know, we might even have sponsors who might be able to sponsor the whole process.
I'll make a note. Jordan wants to go to Dominican.
We can podcast all day if we're doing it in Dominican Republic. That's fine.
Like the eight hour podcast in the
Dominican podcast Republic. Special.
Totally. Totally.
Oh my gosh, I love it. So we're gonna have some fun today. So Jordan, man, tell us more about your investing journey. What initially made you want to do it, man?
So I was lucky. I was born to these really astute parents who modeled great behavior. They had high-paying jobs. They were business people. They started their own businesses and side hustled. They saved 50% of what they earned. They owned real estate as well as stocks and bonds. But I wanted to be a doctor, so I didn't care anything about money. It was the farthest thing from my mind. Fast forward 20-some years later, I am in the midst of becoming a doctor, eventually a practicing physician, and I didn't love my job as much as I thought I would. I started to burn out, and I realized that I needed to leave this profession, but it was the only thing I had ever done to make money. So I started to think about, well, how much money do I need to not have to work, or at least not have to work at this job? And this is where I was really lucky to have had these astute parents, because in a lot of ways I did what they did, even though I didn't know what I was doing. So I invested in real estate. I bought stocks and bonds. I saved as much as I could. I did these things almost by rote because that's what they did. But when I got to this point, I was burned out. I actually discovered financial independence, this idea that you can actually earn enough money to leave your job. I went down the rabbit hole. I learned all about it. And I eventually pulled away from medicine. I still practice a little bit as a hospice doctor. That's a doctor that helps people at end of life. But then dove into things I was much more passionate about, like podcasting and writing about personal finance. But interestingly enough, I found that my hospice patients actually had a lot to say about what living a good life looks like. So I eventually wrote a book called Taking Stock, which kind of brings together my life as a doctor as well as my personal finance journey.
That's awesome, man. So you wrote this book, Taking Stock. Like what inspired you to write this book? Like, tell us more about that process, man.
Well, what I found is when I dove into personal finance, I wasn't interested in the 101. So my podcast is called Earn and Invest, but actually the earning and investing, a lot of people have done this already. There's great podcasts, there's great blogs, there are great books. So I was more about how do we earn and invest in our lives? And so I had all these entrepreneurs and these real estate people and these business people on and these gurus, but we all got stuck with the same problems. We were really good at making money, but we weren't really sure what to do with that. And what does enough look like in our lives? And strangely enough, I started to find the answers from my hospice patients. When they were on their deathbed, they had all these regrets, all these things they hadn't done. And none of them regretted that they didn't make more money. None of them regretted that they didn't work more nights and weekends, but they regretted that they didn't have the courage to do the things that were really important. And so that kind of rang a bell in my head. And I said, oh, that information could really help those of us who are also right in the middle of trying to figure out our personal finances. We're trying to figure out how to build the financial lives for ourselves, but sometimes we lose track of what is really important, that this money that we're building, whether it be real estate or stocks or bonds or businesses that we're running, the whole purpose of that money is actually to be a tool to help us live the life we want to live. And so The Dying just really clarified that for me. And that's kind of how it turned into a book, because I saw that The Dying really had a lot to teach to those of us who are young, who have lots of time left, but aren't always necessarily so clear about what our goals should be.
So awesome.
Seems to me that that's another podcast in the making, interviewing people that you care for because they have so much experience. Just getting to share those experiences would probably be a thrill for most of them.
Yeah, I mean, we accrue knowledge over time, just like we accrue money. And so we often talk about how money compounds and how it pays dividends and all those kind of financial words we use. But experiences do that too. So it is true. Those people around you who've lived a little bit of life, all those experiences have compounded and they pay different types of dividends, things like memories and knowledge and wisdom. And so how can we as young people benefit from all they've been through? And that's kind of a theme that's played throughout a lot of the content I produce, is how do we take that wisdom of those people who've been through it already and then help us then forge a financial framework, a structure for us today that supports all those things we should be aspiring towards.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So Doc, you know, they're going through your journey. You know, you talked about what caused you to do what you do and to help others. And I think it's so remarkable how you have a passion to help your patients, to help others handle their money. It's just so amazing. But, you know, we know that like in life, like some of the biggest things we learn from is our struggles, right? Our pains, the things that we go through, like, you know, sometimes the things that, you know, aren't so, you know, they're not so too sexy. You know, we don't want to talk about it, you know, but those are the things that really build us. So can you share some more of the biggest mind challenges that you had to go through so that you can break through to become a successful investor?
Certainly. And I think there are many. One is that we again forget the point that money is supposed to be a tool towards a greater goal. So one thing that I got stuck in is I started worrying about money for money's sake. And I got really interested in this idea of how to make more money, how to save more money, how to invest more money, and started to forget that the purpose of all that was to actually live a fuller, better life. So when I got to the point in my burnout journey in work, And I looked at my numbers and I had this epiphany and I said, wow, I can leave work. I have enough money. I have these investments. I have some real estate. It's kicking off rents and dividends and things like that that I can use to support my life. That was like such a joyous moment, but it only lasted for a second. Then I had a panic attack and realized I have no idea what all this is for. Like, I'm walking away from this identity being a physician because it's not serving me anymore, but I have no idea who I am. I have no idea what purpose looks like in my life. Now that I actually have what I would consider quote unquote enough money, what does enough life look like? And I had never, ever even thought about those things. And so for me, that was really a pivotal moment where I realized that the money only gets you so far. Money solves money problems. It doesn't solve life problems. It doesn't teach you who you are or who you want to be. I was in a place of really great privilege, right? Because I never struggled with that basic, can I make money, right? I came from a family where we all made money. I never had to worry about putting clothes on my back or getting food in my belly because those were all provided for me. So I had the privilege of some of those kind of deeper concerns of who am I and what should I do with my life. A lot of the people who may be listening to us or certainly out there in the world have to get over that first mindset hurdle, which is I can do this. I can make enough money. I can save. I can invest that money wisely. And I can start worrying about other things other than just sustenance. So I think for a lot of the world, they have to get past that first hurdle. I was lucky enough to be born into a situation where I didn't have to deal with that. So I had to deal with that second hurdle, which is getting past money as the goal and start realizing that I could utilize it to live a better life.
So Doc, real quick question. Other people are going to be listening to this. What do you think would be a good starting investment? Like me and Charles really like the real estate side of things. It takes some know-how, some learning, of course, to do pretty much everything, but what's a good starting thing for just everybody who's like, I have maybe $200 a month extra surplus that I could put aside towards investing? Where would you start if you were, what would be your suggestion?
So I think that really depends on a few things. One is it depends on your situation, and then it depends on your interests, right? So your situation, like I was a doctor making a huge good salary. Right. And so it's really hard to match that, for instance, with just real estate. If I'm making a few $100,000 a year to start as a novice and have a few $100,000 a year coming in from my rental income, that's going to take a lot of time and it's going to take a lot of capital. So for someone like me, especially when I did like my job, it made a lot of sense to take that money and put it in something that I could almost forget about. Right. So then we're talking about things like stocks and bonds, equities. The stock market is really easy. It's sold to you as this really difficult thing, but almost anyone, especially early on in your career, can take your money and put it in a broad-based index fund like an S&P 500 or total market index fund, leave it there, and it'll make somewhere between 8 to 10% most likely over the next 20 or 30 years. So if you're like me and you have a high income and if you happen to like your job, that's a good way to create income. Let's make sure we take that extra 200 and put it in the stock market. Now that's a far cry from someone who maybe is making a mediocre income or doesn't like their job. For someone like that, you know, real estate is fantastic. Let's be honest. Real estate is one of the few ways you can start with almost nothing and within a number of years end up having a fortune or maybe even be what I'd call financially independent, right? Have enough properties that it creates enough income that you don't have to do any other work. There are very few things as powerful as real estate. So especially if you don't have a high income producing job, especially if you don't like your job, I think that real estate is a great way to go. And last but not least, and this is kind of the real estate journey, but it's a little bit different. If you are passionate and have great ideas and are a self-starter and a learner, you know, entrepreneurship is also hard to be beat. You are going to work your butt off. You're going to take lots of risks. You're going to fail a lot. But if you keep at it, you could have exponential returns. And so the way I like to think about it is the slow and steady, if you have a good steady job, is the stock market. If you start with less, I think the real estate market is great. And then if you're really driven and have some great ideas, entrepreneurship. But all three of those are great ways. Like the biggest problem is not which you choose. The biggest problem is actually choosing. And that's where people get stuck. It's having the belief and confidence and courage in yourself that you can either dominate investing by understanding the stock market, which is really not nearly as hard as we think. You can dominate real estate by going and meeting the right people, by learning about it, and by making some mistakes and then pivoting and doing better. Or you can dominate entrepreneurship by being dogged and being passionate and working those 80-hour work weeks, because man, if you want to really start your own business, that's what you're going to need to do. So really the courage is the problem. It's not what the right investment per se is, because you can dominate all of those. It's having the will to say, I can do this, stepping up and believing in yourself.
So let's, man, that is so awesome, man. Let's talk about that some more, because I think some listeners are listening and they're wondering, like, man, like, I'm having a hard time choosing, like, man, Doc, all three of those areas sounds good. You know, stock sounds good, real estate, being an entrepreneur, whatever it is. This sounds really good, but like, I just don't know which one to choose, you know, or maybe I'm good at all three. Like, what would you tell that person who's listening who might be thinking that way?
So here's the fantastic thing about being at that place. What are you passionate about? Like, I know a lot of people who like buying and selling things and love finding the deal. So for them, real estate is amazing, right? It's totally their thing. They like people. They love checking out the real estate market. They love making those relationships and getting to know the realtors and the lenders and the spotters and all these people who can then help them be successful. Man, if that's you and you fit into that, you're passionate about that, that gives you a reason you want to wake up in the day, man, go for it. Other way around. I know people who love building businesses and it is just in their blood. It's what they wake up every morning thinking about, man, go make a business. And if that's not it, and if you happen to want to be a doctor, want to be a lawyer, or an accountant, or whatever it is, or want to be an electrician, or whatever it is that lights you up, and you're like, that's what I do want to do with myself, man, take whatever extra money you have, put it in the stock market and let it compound and grow while you're doing what you like doing. And so, again, I think we need to take the pressure off ourselves and trying to figure out what exactly it is and actually figure out who we want to be, figure out what purpose and identity look like in our lives. And then after you've done that, you start building the financial framework. And so which financial framework you build really depends on who you are. And again, this gets back to the whole point that our money is to support us living our best lives. Our best lives are not us making lots of money. And so if we start with who are we, what's purpose look like in our life, then those decisions become a little bit easier, right? The decision might be, hey, I'm a doctor and that's what I'm all about. So investing is really the easy thing for me to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I can put all my money in the stock market and I'm a doctor and then I decide to have my own practice. And then I can also maybe put a little money into that real estate and buy that office that I practice in and rent out some of the extra rooms to other doctors. So I can integrate it all, but I think we can really think about what's natural to us. And if you happen to be lucky enough to have the time, space, and energy, diversification is awesome, right? So if you are 90% real estate, maybe put 10 or 15% in the stock market. Just throw it in there, get into a broad-based index fund, let it do some work on the side. That way, God forbid the real estate market tanks or something bad happens you just didn't expect, you still got some protection. Same with entrepreneurship. Maybe you don't love being an entrepreneur, but there's something you're particularly good at. Maybe you love real estate, but you've realized, hey, I can teach other people to do this. So maybe on the side, you build a little real estate course and it provides an extra $10,000, $20,000 or $30,000 a year. Boom, you've got a little small business. It isn't your passion. What you are really is a real estate guy. And hey, I put a little extra money in the stock market. That's diversification. That's risk modification. That's risk mitigation. This is the way you're going to build an empire that really supports you being the person you want to be.
Man, that's awesome, man. And I really love how you said, you know, first, it's really knowing who you are, right? A friend of mine, I heard a friend of mine say something like, he said, once you know who you are, you know who you're not, right? And so, and that like really helps you to determine what is the best course for you, right? Whether it's starting with one or eventually doing all three of those types of investing. So thank you for sharing that, man. I love doing investing in all three of those areas as well too. So I know that strategy works, man.
Yeah. And the key is right pivot. So you throw a bunch of spaghetti against the wall and see what sticks. I've done all three. Right. So for me, I'm probably most proficient as an equities investor, right? I'm most proficient because it's so easy in putting my money in the stock market and leaving it there. But I've owned up to four doors. I've bought and sold. I've flipped places. I was good at that, but it didn't fill me up. And in fact, at points during the COVID pandemic, it got stressful enough that I decided, okay, it's time to pivot out of that. But it fulfilled a real role in my life. It provided a lot of cash flow and it provided a huge amount of diversification. But as you enter different seasons in your life, my seasons changed and I realized I didn't want to be running out to those rental properties fixing things all the time. And so life changed. There have been seasons in my life when I've been an employee and there have been seasons in my life when I've been an entrepreneur. And so again, we can pivot. And as we get more powerful and older, and as those experiences accrue and compound, we get a lot wiser. And one thing as you get older is you start realizing that while there's lots of successful paths, you're going to be more agile at one path than another. And as you get wiser, you start realizing that sometimes you want to spend more time on this path because it's just a better path for you. And that's totally fine.
That's really good. What do you think for you? Like, what's that one thing that you did that was really good that you've continued to keep doing through your years of investing, as far as like investing, stocks, rental properties, flipping? Like, that's a lot of avenues, but what's kind of been that one thing that you've just been kept doing over and over and over again because it's just worked for you?
Failing. I have failed over and over and over again, and it's generally worked out pretty well. I mean, listen, when I started as a kid, I bought and sold baseball cards. I think I lost a few $100s, right? Then as I got older, I bought and sold artwork. Eventually, I became a doctor, but then I owned my own practice. My own practice actually ended up paying me a lot of money. It was probably the first business venture that really, really gave me huge returns. But I could have never gotten there unless I had all those failures. If I hadn't set up the LLCs for the business that didn't work, if I hadn't bombed out, if I hadn't had the right social media, all those kind of things wouldn't have worked out unless I had failed. Same with the stock market, man. I got heavily into stock market, especially in like 99, 2000, 2001 with the tech bubble. I lost tons of money. But without that failure, without trying to do it on my own, without actually reading up and learning and figuring I can just blindly put my money in the market and know what to do, without failing like that, I would have never had the fantastic gains that I eventually had throughout the 2000s as the market went up and up and up. Same thing with real estate. I mean, I had to make some bad moves. The first time I bought a condo, I thought I was going to use it. Then I rented it out. I had never heard of the 1% or the 2% rule. I had no idea of things like cap rates. I mean, none of that was even part of my vocabulary. I had to jump in, make a decision, see what worked, see what didn't work, and then pivot. I have failed at just about everything, and I've failed multiple times. I am for sure a failure, but the superpower is learning how to fail and then move forward. And so that's served me over and over and over again. And I can't imagine a life where I hadn't failed. I don't think I would have gotten nearly as far as I have.
You failed rather successfully, it sounds like.
I mean, I think so. Again, we need to reinvent failure. I mean, we've always looked at it as a bad thing. And you guys have heard this before, right? We all know this, but I think we have to keep on telling ourselves this. If you are not failing, you're not trying enough new things. And it took me a long time to realize that because I took failure really personally. Again, you know, you have to look and you have to interpret your life as it is. I was a pretty spectacular failure as a kid. Like, I had a learning disability. I was, you know, years ahead of my peers in school. Like, I was socially awkward. My dad died when I was 8. Like, I had all these things that I blame myself because I was an 8-year-old, so I didn't know any different, right? And so, like, I spectacularly failed. But here was the beauty of it. When you fail that much and you're young and yet you still wake up the next day, and then once you hit that one or two like successes, it's like a superpower. You're like, oh, failure, like I'm good at that. I just keep doing it. And then occasionally I'll all of a sudden start succeeding. And what I found over time is that the number of failures decreased and the number of successes increased. And it just became that success became the default, whereas failure had always been the default before. But even now in my adult life, I can go about the world and realize that failure is no big deal. It just means that you're pushing the borders. And that's what inventive people do, is they keep pushing the borders. And that's how you become successful, is you got to fail, pivot, change, learn, grow. And then eventually that turns into success.
So I've found, and I'm curious, I think Charles would agree with me. Charles, you let me know if you don't, but that I found it super helpful to be hanging out with the right people, people that are in the area that I want to be at. If they're farther ahead of me, I want to know what they did to get there. And it's kind of like what you were saying at the beginning, learning from those people's mistakes and things like that. But I found that having mentorships or coaching or things like that has been super helpful for me. I'm one of those guys where I get an idea, but I don't like to recreate the wheel. I want to call somebody and say, hey, is this a good idea? Should I do this or not? Did you ever have anything like that?
Oh yeah, all the time. I mean, you rise to the tide that you're being carried by. And so I guess the question is, who are you going to surround yourself with? So I very much learned this when I was a little kid. I grew up in a rougher neighborhood. And then my father died And my mom remarried and we moved to a much more affluent neighborhood. And it's interesting what you learn by hanging out with those two different groups of people. So hanging out in the rougher neighborhood, I learned a lot about life. Like I learned about how to carry myself, how to walk around in society, how to protect myself, all these kind of really important things, how to be aware of your surroundings, all those kind of things. Then I moved to a whole different neighborhood. This whole different neighborhood, most of the adults were fairly rich and successful and business people. So it was interesting to see the kids. The kids carried themselves in such a different way. They had a confidence, right? They were talking about the next car they were going to buy or the house or the business they were going to start. And it wasn't that they were cocky and arrogant. It was that they were surrounded by people who were continuously winning and succeeding. And so that was part of their ethos. And so I kind of learned as a little kid, it wasn't that one was better than the other. Like I learned a lot from living in that rough neighborhood and it helped me carry myself physically in a way and learn how to be street smart in a way I would have never in this other neighborhood. Then I moved to this other neighborhood. And again, like the tide tends to carry you, the ethos was we succeed, problems are solvable, money isn't a problem, it's an opportunity. And so I think it's very true. You tend to be carried by those people around you. And so if you're smart enough to really take it in and learn from those people around you, you're going to find yourself in a better place. And I think that happened a lot in my life. And it's also happened, another big pivot for me is when I kind of left being a physician and entered the personal finance world, you know, and started my own podcast and started really talking to people. I started interacting with all these really highly successful business people and writers and influencers. And I found over time that just being around them has opened up doors for me that I would have never had open. So I've always wanted to write a book, but I never had the courage for it. And all of a sudden now I have all these people I've interviewed on my podcast I've become friends with who are successful book writers, who have agents and publishers. And so just being around them opened up doors to me that I would have never, never had open. So again, when you surround yourself by people who impress you, by people that you want to grow and learn to be like, you tend to up your game. It's just what happens.
Awesome.
Yeah, man, that is so true, man. I love William, and I totally agree with you for sure. Let it be known on record. But it's just amazing to hear your journey, man. And you know how you I'm just thinking, like, you know how you talked about the failures. I just love that analogy and that example that you said. You know, it's like it's okay to fail. You know, failing is not a bad thing, right? It's an actual good F word, right? And so maybe that could be another, you know, book or podcast, you know, the good F word. I don't know. You can put some sort of spin or play on that. But man, with every failure comes an opportunity for breakthrough, right? And so you are our definition of a breakthrough investor. That's why we brought you here on this podcast today. So tell us more, you know, what keeps you up at night knowing that you need to keep moving forward as a breakthrough investor? Or, you know, basically what keeps you motivated to keep investing for the future?
It's funny you say what keeps me up at night. And the first thing that popped into my mind is my kids, right? So strangely enough, it's not really money concerns anymore. It's worrying about my kids and that they're okay, et cetera. So what keeps me investing? Thankfully, I'm at a point in life right now where risk mitigation is really what's on my mind. Once you accrue a certain amount of money, you're not worried about necessarily making more money. What you're worried about is making sure that money serves you in the way it needs to serve you. And so I do a lot of thinking about how do I make sure that the money I have today grows with me so that I can continue to grow. And so I think that's a really good way to look at it, depending on where you are, right? When you're at the beginning of your journey, you want those investments to help carry you and build you up. But once you get to that middle of the journey, you just want those investments to keep growing with you. And so I think your needs are different in each. So I think a lot about risk mitigation. How can I optimally diversify? How can I emotionally hold the course so I don't make bad decisions when times go bad? How can I make sure that that money lasts me, maybe lasts my kids, pays for a few things for them? And so that's what the impetus is to keep investing, as opposed to just, you know, shut it down, take all your money out of the market, sell all your properties, put it in the bank and leave it there. That money won't then grow with me. And I need to make sure it keeps growing with me so that I can do those things I want to do. So that's why you want to be a breakthrough investor, is because you want to be a breakthrough person in your life, and your investments are going to make that easier. They're a tool to help you continue to breaking through in your life. They're not the only tool, but it is one powerful tool that's going to help you be the person you want to be.
Man, that's awesome, man. This is awesome. Man, this has been amazing. Your stories and just the journey you went through. And, you know, I would arguably say that, you know, there was a part of your life where, you know, where you grew up in a rough area, right? And you learned so much from those experiences. And, you know, I grew up in the Bahamas, and, you know, not from a wealthy family at all. And so, you know, so growing up, you know, poor, and then, you know, having, you know, the ability and the opportunities to obtain a better life for me and my family has been amazing and remarkable. But I can totally relate to your stories about how you learned so much from those times when you were growing up in a rough area. Would you say that whole experience, you know, kind of shaped who you are today? And do you use it to like even sometimes remind yourself of you know, what this other life can be and where you are now? Like, talk about that some more, because I think some people are listening. Maybe they may be going through a rough season in their life as well.
Yeah. So first, let me clarify. I grew up and actually live in the same area I grew up in now. So it has some rougher parts to it, but it's not a bad area. In fact, it's a very, very nice area. But there's some gang problems, some shootings, some things where it's a little bit more real life and more city-like than, for instance, the more wealthier suburbs that I eventually moved to when I was younger. So first, let me clarify, it's not a horrible area. It's actually a very nice place to live, but you see some real life here, right? There's enough violence and you know, crime and things that you say, okay, this is more real life than some of the suburbs out there. I think it opened my eyes and made me be a little bit more worldly. Because I think ultimately, any kind of business, whatever you do, most likely your ability to interact with other people, to understand your circumstances and surroundings, to fit in and to know what you can learn from that situation, that's going to serve you wherever you are throughout the rest of your life. And I think that was something that I really learned by being put into situations as a younger person where I had to be just a little bit more aware. And so I think that's what I really carried from it, is this understanding, this realization that that people find themselves in different situations throughout life. And if you can find a way to interact with all of those people, learn from them, because everyone has these various gifts, whether you have money, whether you're a business person, or whether you're just struggling, like, we have something to learn from all those people in our lives. And if we can take those gifts, be aware of them, listen to them, understand our surroundings, and then make good decisions, I think it benefits us. And so I'll always carry that with me. I'm very thankful that I got to be in both environments as a child, because I think it just taught me such different things. And now as an adult, I try to integrate both, right? I want to have that mindset that I learned from the really affluent area, but I want to have that grittiness and understanding of my surroundings that I learned from being in a little bit of a rougher area. And if I can integrate those two, it'll allow me just to be more successful, more worldly, fit in better in different environments, all those things that we want to do as an adult.
Awesome, man. Man, this, I love your story, man. But more than likely, maybe we missed something. Is there anything we missed so our audience can become a breakthrough investor like you?
I think my key message is always start with your why. What does purpose and identity look like in your life? And then become a breakthrough investor, build a financial structure around those things. And I think if you can keep that in mind, that's going to point you in the best direction. Figuring out how to make money sounds really hard, but really it's easy. Easy to figure out how. Not necessarily easy to carry it out, right? It takes time. It takes time to become a real estate investor. It takes time to make money in your W-2. It takes time to become an entrepreneur. All those things may take time and a lot of hard work, but it's at least easy to go and get the resources to figure out what you need to do and what that looks like. What's really hard is to figure out who you are and what you want in life. That is hard. It's ephemeral, right? It's not, no one can tell you who you want to be. You actually have to search within the insides and try to figure out what that looks like in your life. And so remember, that's the really hard work. Building the financial framework is something you totally can do once you figure out who you are.
I love it how your message is so consistent, man. Figuring out who you are, right? Figuring out who you are, and so you can know who you're not and build that whole financial framework. So this has been fantastic. People are going to want to find you and listen to you online. I know just talking to you now, like I feel like there's so much more that I can learn from you, man. Like you have so much wisdom and knowledge. But there's going to be some people who want to hear you more and find out more about you. How can they find you and how can they connect with you?
So the best way is to go to my website, jordangrummet.com. That's JORDANGRUMET.com. There you can find out about my book, Taking Stock, A Hospice Doctor's Advice on Financial Independence, Building Wealth, and Living a Regret-Free Life. So it's easy to find out about that there. But there are also three ways in which I generally create content. I wrote a medical blog from like 2004 to about 2018. You can find the link there. It's called In My Humble Opinion. I also started a financial blog called Diversify. You'll find that there. And last but not least, what I spend most of my time doing today, which is the Earn and Invest podcast. All the links are at jordangrummet.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And we will definitely put those in the show notes. Thank you so much, Doc. And it was so great having you in the show, man.
Charles William, it's been a pleasure.